Hello everyone, welcome to day 30, the last lesson of the 30 days growth marketing course. And Swati, I think this was an amazing journey. Honestly, I think you've learned really fast. I was thinking, you know, 30 days is too short to promise people to learn growth marketing, but I think we did pretty well in terms of the lessons and all.
Yeah, I think can't believe we're here. Like, you know, I was really excited to learn, but at the same time, add this thing that you know, will I be able to grasp, and you know, will I be able to do that? But I think the fact that the lessons were so beginner friendly, so yeah, I'm here, and yeah, I can say I've learned a lot in these 30 days.
Nice, amazing. So I also tell people that, you know, unlike digital marketing, there's no beginners in growth marketing. And that's why most of the content out there is just a little bit either too high level, or sometimes it's just too growth hackish, right? It's just about like, do this hack, do that hack. So who is out there making content which is like really beginner friendly growth marketing course? You know, that's the problem that we set out to solve. And I hope we've done well, but I think the best feedback will come from also the people who are watching these videos, whether it's on YouTube or the email, or, you know, Growth Grad, the website, anywhere else. So let us know what you feel. If you've listened to this on an audio version, like a podcast, then let us know. You can send us an email as well. So my email ID is rish@maplinks.com. You can send all of your thoughts, comments, and feedback there. And our website, where we have the community of growth marketeers, is on growthgrad.com. So feel free to join in there. The community of the learners here of the course will also be active there. So with that said, Swati, I think one thing we discussed briefly in the last lesson was that, you know, I mentioned as you become a better growth marketeer. But, you know, since I'm a data-driven person, you know, we're all data-driven marketeers now, I believe, at the end of 30 days. So you need to assign some metrics as to what makes a better growth marketeer or a good growth marketeer, right? What do you think, Swati, is, you know, who is a better growth marketeer than, you know, how can we say if person A is a better growth marketeer than person B?
I think it has to be a well-rounded approach. We cannot just say that, you know, the numbers or the revenue they've brought in, that would be kind of... It is a good metric, but that would be like kind of shallow for me. I think it has to be a well-rounded approach on how well you're conducting your experiment, how often you're doing them, and of course, how your results are coming out. So I think it has to be a very well-rounded approach.
Right. So starting out the course, we discussed there are different pillars of growth marketing, right? So we discussed that you have your mindset, you have your process, you have your skill set, and you have your tool set.
Yeah.
Now, one way could be that you rank people on these four different pillars, but that would not be the ideal way, because like I said in those early lessons, the tool set becomes least important as you grow in your career. You can adapt to new tools, you can hire people to work on new tools, and you know, the mindset always stays important throughout, but the process becomes more and more important as you become sort of a growth marketing manager or a growth lead, etc. And then your as you go from specialization to management, your skill set becomes less important in terms of the specific channel skills, and your fundamental core skill set keeps on adding up, keeps on layering up, and becomes more important. So it's very complex. It's a very complex topic to say that person A is better growth marketer than person B, and it's very hard to get to that decision. However, there are some things, if you're a business owner hiring a growth marketeer, or if you're a growth marketeer just who wants to track how well you're doing and if you're improving or not, there are a few metrics that I have put in place. And that's what I'm going to share now. So let me just share my screen. And I have split it into three different categories. The first one is the body. There's no soul here. It's just the numbers. So we are talking about the metrics themselves. And like you said, that this could be a slightly shallow version of looking at it, but it's a start. You know, it's the body of, it's the overall frame of the person. So the first thing is the number of successful growth experiments, right? So if I was to give you my project as a growth marketeer, you are a growth marketeer, I want to hire you to run experiments, and you have never done successful growth experiments, it's going to be a slightly harder decision for me to hire you. Yeah. While you might have the right skill set, tool set, mindset, all of those things, but you may not have any case studies with you. And that could be slightly difficult for me to hire you, especially if I'm looking at successful growth experiments and not training someone on growth marketing and not adding someone to my existent growth marketing team. So I think that's one thing, the number of experiments that you designed and executed successfully. Now, of course, success depends on the goals that you had and were you able to achieve them, yes or no, right? So those will be your number of successful growth experiments. Now, don't get me wrong. I know there is a lot of content out there on the internet talking about how failures are the best teachers. But if I had to look, it's just my personal opinion. If I had to hire a growth marketer, I would look at the successes and not the failures that they have done in growth marketing. You could look at the failures and say, okay, they learned a lot. Could be true for startup entrepreneurs as well, as the saying goes. I believe that successes determine more that they will be successful in the future. Because if they have been successful, they have inherently had failures. But I wouldn't look at number of failures as a metric for a growth marketer. I would look at how many successful growth experiments did you have? What all case studies are there? I have a slightly different opinion than the industry. I think success teaches much more than failure, to be very honest. Because you learn the process that is going to be successful for the future.
Right.
So yeah, that's on the first number. If we want to go slightly deeper than that, and if someone is slightly more experienced, maybe they have 20, 30 successful growth experiments with only 10 failures. That's crazy. That's amazing. But if they have 20 successful growth experiments with 200 failures, it's slightly more concerning, because I'm going to waste a lot of time and energy and resources on this person's failures. Some people might call it a learning journey, but I would waste more time and money and energy on their learning journey than my success. Sort of sounds selfish, but at the same time, that's what I would consider while I'm hiring someone. I would obviously want my business to have a high success rate. And as a process, they would obviously learn and they would grow along with the business. Now, again, keep in mind that this I'm talking when I'm hiring someone to, when I'm hiring someone experienced and I want success. But if I've already built a team, I'm hiring a new person, I wouldn't care about this metric because I know that this person is going to come and join the team and learn with me, right? So you've been working with Maplinx. I've never spoken about these metrics. We've never spoken about this because I know your key area has been social media and influencer marketing. So all the metrics I've asked you is related to that. But now we are learning growth marketing together. And in the future, I would maintain these sort of metrics as you experiment more and more growth marketing campaigns. But yes, if you're a startup, you're going from 1 to 10, you need a solid track record with a growth marketer. You should look at the success rate and not just the number of experiments, right? So out of 100 experiments, if your success rate is 50%, then you'll have one failure, one success, and it'll go that way. So that will be the experiment success rate. Yeah, those are the metrics, but now we have to go deeper, right? So growth marketing is, like entrepreneurship, it just keeps changing all the time. So it never stops. I mean, imagine, Swati, if we were making this course just 6 months ago, there would be no mention of AI in the course probably, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, if we were making it, 1 year ago, there could be less mention of a few channels like influencer marketing. Maybe if you were making it 2 years ago, but maybe if you were making it, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, there could be less mention of even social media and some other things. So it keeps changing from time to time. And hence the learning velocity is important. So the speed at which you can learn and implement new strategies and tactics, right? Yeah. People say about AI that, AI will not replace you, but people who use AI will replace you. And those are the people with basically fundamentally a high learning velocity.
Mm.
Right. So whatever you do, Swati, if you have a high learning velocity, you will beat people with a low learning velocity. There's no doubt about that. Right.
Yes.
And it's not just about learning. It's about learning velocity, because you could learn, you could be very passionate about learning, but you could take 2 years to learn ChatGPT, for example, and you're not catching up. So it's about how fast you're able to learn it and grow. That's
right.
That's the hustle side of growth marketing, right? Cool. So no specific measure, no specific number here. So it's not an exact metric, but yeah, the faster you can learn something and execute it, the better results you'll get. Right. So this is something that I say, learn a little bit, start executing, and then keep adding to your learning instead of trying to learn to 100% and then start executing it. Right. Mm-hmm. So you definitely be ahead of the curve if you learn while.
Yeah. I think you also learn better when you're, on the process, or when you're like experimenting, doing it yourself.
Exactly. And, you know, this is what I would, I mean, of course, this is the last lesson of the course, but if you've been watching these 30 days, you know, whoever's watching this on YouTube, et cetera, try to also execute those. Maybe for the next 30 days, you make an OMTM and execute on that OMTM before this course ends. You know, like, you're watching this video, pause the video, think about your next 30 days OMTM, make growth experiments, and start executing that, because then you'll retain the knowledge in the course for a very long time, compared to if you were to just watch this course and then say, okay, I'm going to use this somewhere in my next client or somewhere in my next campaign in the future. That could just reduce your retention, your own personal retention of what you've learned here. So learning velocity, personal development, you know, this is one thing which I think is important, is to have contact with other growth marketeers. And that's where the community comes in. So people who are not part of the community yet, you can go on growthgrad.com/growthnation. That's the link where you can join the community. And people who are learning, but people who are above you, who are, you know, who have learned before you, will also be there. So there's a rule called plus minus zero. You know, zero is people at the same level as you. Great to have connects with them. Minus is people who can learn from you, maybe a level below you, before you, not below you, but before you. They will reach there in a while. It's very good to, you know, share with them so they can get there faster. And then there's plus, and there's people a few steps ahead of you. And then it's very good to learn from them. So you should have a mix of this plus minus zero. People, of course, I'm no one to say that someone is, ahead of you or behind you. But if anyone shares something that you can learn from in that particular space, they've sort of done something more, and then you can learn from that, right? Finally, there's like personal productivity. So how well can you manage your time and tasks, right? There's so many experiments that you can do. You have limited time. You can reach the same goals by different ways, but within that time and within that, energy and time, what do you do to be more productive? Like, that's your another personal metric, not just for growth marketing, but for everything. Now, of course, I do want to mention that with time and task management is very limited. It's not very scalable because you only have a few hours in a day. But task management is more scalable. The way that you choose your tasks and prioritize your tasks, there's basically no limit to how much you can scale there. You cannot scale time management too much. And unfortunately, the entire productivity space talks mostly about time management and less about task management. But yeah, you know, time is limited, and hence time management is not very scalable. I personally feel that.
Mm. So yeah, I also think interrelated. Yeah. If you can manage your tasks well, you're, you know, saving time, and hence you're saving, managing your time well.
Yeah, I mean, if you did not care about time management at all and just be very good at prioritization, you will still succeed, right? But if you care a lot about time management but have no task management process or framework in place, then it's less likely that you'll be able to you'll be doing the right things with the time that you've managed very well now. You've managed the time well, but what are you doing with it? That's the question, right? So yeah, apart from this, of course, there are a few other things which, you know, personally, I don't look at feedback from colleagues, stakeholders too much. But if you have stakeholders and clients who share negative feedback, that those are the ones which are more important. Of course, I've sort of, been doing growth experiments for a while. So if people are congratulating me for experiments, et cetera, that's great, but it does not help that much. But if someone says, you know, in this experiment, we could have done this better, or you could have managed this decision better, that's something that goes into my library of decision-making for the future. I'm also looking at, okay, I'm able to do the OMTMs, but am I contributing to the North Star? Is the business growing overall? Those kinds of numbers. And then innovation and creativity. I think this will separate growth marketeers who have a great process, who have great fundamentals, who know the channels really well, who know their metrics, track their metrics, everything, but are not creative. So this adds a level up to growth marketers who can come up with new innovative and creative ideas versus growth marketers who are, you know, basically getting their inspiration from other sources. So that's something that I would also, you know, ask people to incorporate more creativity and innovation into their process. And then, of course, you know, the way you communicate your experiments and their results to stakeholders is also very important, especially if you have clients. They may sometimes not understand what happened and why your experiment was not successful. If they just see, okay, it's a yes or a no, is it successful or not? And then it's important to communicate what happened, because growth marketing, like I said, is throughout the funnel. It's A3, R3 funnel. So it may be very well connected with the product. And sometimes it's not a marketing issue, but it's a product issue because of which your experiment maybe was not successful. So you need to make sure that you communicate that really well without causing, of course, confusion within the teams of product, growth. And some people have a separate team for marketing and a separate team for growth. So you don't want to create confusion within the teams. At the same time, you want to effectively communicate what can be improved in the other teams, so that your growth marketing experiments or the entire business's growth marketing experiments can be done better. And yes, one of the hardest things is decision-making. This is something I often get wrong. Many times I make a decision about a specific experiment and it turns out to be the worst decision. And then we have to trace back to a week and go back to where we were before I made that decision. And of course, at some level of experience, you'll be making more and more decisions and doing less and less of execution, which is what I do now. And the quality of the decisions that I make is going to decide how all of the team's execution turns out, right? So that's one place where you have to be in touch with the data. You'll have to interpret it in the right way. You have to understand the data in the right way and then be able to make decisions that improve your campaigns.
Okay.
So yeah, those are some things you can do to improve as a growth marketeer. That being said, we are at the end of the course, and I hope this was a great learning experience. As a final say, this was a completely free course. I hope everyone has enjoyed this. I believe that everyone needs this beginner-friendly growth marketing education. So if you know people who are entrepreneurs or digital marketers who want to learn the course, please share it with them. And if you have enjoyed this course, make sure you join the community at growthgrad.com/growthnation. It's free to join, and you'll meet other growth marketers like you who are taking this course from time to time and then joining into the community. Feel free to discuss all your growth marketing questions there. So Swati, any final notes, final closing notes before we end the lesson?
I think, yeah, again, like I said, that the lesson is so well made. You know, I wasn't sure for myself if I'll be able to, you know, grasp all of it, but it was so crisp. It was so beginner friendly, explained so nicely. So I think, yes, I would definitely recommend. And we could see practical examples, you know. So, yeah, I think I've learned a lot, and I'm sure people who are who've reached here and doing the course with me, I think they have to agree. And we would love to see, you know, what they have to say. So yes,
right, absolutely. I would even encourage people to make you know, send us a video response as to how you enjoyed the course. We love videos. And, you know, if you have, of course, if you have comments, you can leave a comment on the videos, let us know what you feel. And if you can make a video response for us, there's a special gift that I will send you. So for anyone who sends a video testimonial for the course, I'll be sending out a special gift. So thank you everyone for watching. Thank you, Swati, for taking this journey with me, for, you know, being there, for also learning, you know. I think you grasped the concepts really well, which reflected by the questions that you were asking. And good to see that you enjoyed it. And that's the most important thing, that we're able to enjoy this learning process.
I did. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thanks, Swati. Thanks, everyone. Thank you so much for watching. We'll keep in touch and see you inside growthgrad.com. Thank you. Bye-bye.